For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Orioles on the Verge. This is Zach Spedden, joined as always by Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens. And on tonight's episode, we're going to take listener questions. And we've got an interesting array looking at some things minor leagues, but then also a lot of major league talk. And as is the case with our listeners, it might only be April, but we're going to talk trade deadline already. A quick note, though, before we dive into tonight's episode, I want to remind our listeners that we are doing a live show here in the next month. We will be heading to Checker Spot Brewing in Baltimore on May 11th. We're going to have a 2 p.m. show that will precede the Orioles game against the Diamondbacks that afternoon. So we certainly encourage you to come by. We'll have more details about the episode between now and the 11th, including an announcement on guests. We're also planning to do a listener Q&A during that show. And if you have tickets to the Orioles game that day, don't worry. Checker Spot is close to Camden Yards. You can come over, see our show. We'll wrap up in time for you to get to the ballpark. And who knows, maybe you could come back afterwards and see us again. And with that, we'll go into our first question of tonight's episode. And it's a kind of an ongoing topic of discussion because there's a lot of talented players in this area with so few spots to get to throw around. But Yoni wants to know about the Orioles outfield situation and how that's going to play out over the next few years. His question is, would love to hear you guys weigh in on how the outfield plays itself out over the next few years, assuming they keep five on the roster. And I'm going to start with Nick on this one.
Oh, can't you just enjoy the moment, Yoni? This team is winning, playing well. Why we got to have this infield conversation with the outfield already? It is fun to think about, though, I guess. You know, Mullins has a couple more years on that contract, kind of hoping he stays healthy and produces. Like, I mean, that catch he made on Monday night, good Lord. And then he homered in that game as well. Unbelievable. He keeps playing like that. No issues there. Santander, obviously, his contract runs out this year. We'll see if he walks or not. I would like to see at least one of those guys extended. Nothing major, but get him on a 2-3 year deal. Honestly, I would prefer it to be Santander. I've always been a massive Santander fan, but I became a stan this offseason, I think I decided. And just as a fan, forget about how are we going to fit these guys in defensively and all this stuff. Forget about all that for a second. Just as a fan, I am a diehard Santander fan and an Orioles fan. And I want to see Santander in an Orioles fan in an Orioles uniform for the next couple of years. I'm going to die on every Santander hill that I can. But Hayes can obviously, he's Colton Cowser's here. I'll just say that. We'll leave that one alone. I will say though, I hope everyone listening finds someone in their life that loves them just as much as Orioles beat reporters and Masson talking heads love hyping up Austin Hayes and highlighting the fact that he was an all-star last year. The world would be a better place. But Hayes, I don't see long-term in this future. Hopefully you extend Santander. Mullins at least plays out his contract. Let's go that route. You do have a nice order of succession here in this organization. Judd Fabian, Enrique Bradfield Jr., hopefully lining up as Mullins' contract ends. But you do have a lot of questions with those two guys and their bats and their development. Dylan Beavers is going to, he was drafted to be a long-term project. I still think we could not see him in the major leagues for, you know, another year plus 2 years, probably. I could see that situation playing out. Kowser's arrived. Kerstad, is he going to be like the Ryan O'Hearn replacement? Or if Santander walks, could Kerstad play right field? I do think the conversation about Kerstad's defense is very Santander-like, where his lack of defensive ability is exaggerated a little bit. But I'm looking at the crop of free agents this year, and we could go after this Juan Soto guy. Like, new ownership, what do you want to do? You want to make a statement, you could sign Juan Soto, of course. But then it's Cody Bellinger, no. Alex Verdugo, pass. Michael Conforto, hard no. Joey Gallo, Tyler O'Neill, Jock Peterson, Lourdes Gurriel, Teoscar Hernandez, Aaron Hicks, Mark Canha. I can keep going. A lot of trash, a lot of old dust. And then it's Santander. Give me Santander. Let Mullins at least play out his extension. Try to mix Kerstad in there some way. Hope Fabian and Bradfield pan out within the next 2 years. We'll see what the next year's free agent draft class or free agent class looks like. But a lot of what ifs, but the Orioles have set themselves up pretty nicely with their timelines. I will say that, to give them some outs over the next couple of years.
Yeah, just like the infield. Mm-hmm. Going to have plenty of options. That's for sure. Could sign Santander to an extension of short to moderate length. You could extend Mullins at some point. You could extend the qualifying offer to Santander and hope to keep him and Mullins at least through 2025. Kowser obviously has already established it. He'll probably be the main left fielder for the foreseeable future, starting maybe now. Kerstad will be up at some point. I do think he's more of an O'Hearn replacement or a Santander replacement eventually. Stowers, I think, could still come up and be like the fourth, fifth outfielder that could give you pop off of the bench. Beavers, Fabian, they're not that far away. Bradfield, obviously, a little bit further than that. Maybe not. Maybe he's up at some point next year. Like you said, it's kind of reminding me of that infield where we eventually traded Joey Ortiz. Which one of these outfielders are they going to trade and finally come up with their establishment? If I have to say, all right, opening day 2026, what are my five outfielders? I will say Kowser in left, Bradfield in center, Kerstad in right, and I will say Fabian fourth outfielder, Stowers fifth outfielder.
I could see that. I get the feeling that
somehow I completely left out Dylan Beavers, but hey, maybe that's the guy they trade for another pitcher or something.
I get the sense that if the Orioles are going to do an extension in, you know, the next, let's say, 8 to 12 months, that it could end up being Santander or Mullins, because you could probably get either player on a reasonable contract. I've said before, and I'll say again, that for as much as I love Cedric Mullins, I do think there is a little bit of a risk in extending him and him losing a step or two in center field as you get into that contract. And now you're looking at kind of a fringe left fielder in offensively, and that would worry me a little bit. But yeah, that's a discussion for another day. As for how the rest of the outfield situation plays out, I think that Kowser is going to establish himself as an everyday player. I think the Orioles are going to try to make Kerstad sort of a first base DH right field hybrid. You certainly can't rule out Stowers, can't rule out Dylan Beavers at all. I think that his ceiling is really high. Judd Fabian, I think, gets to the big leagues on the basis of his center field defense. The question is going to be the strikeouts. If he strikes out too much, then you're probably looking at a Jake Marincek type player, someone who can hit lefties, good in that role. You love his defense, but strikes out too much to be an everyday player, especially on a team that's looking to compete. And I'll go down a little bit here, and I'm just going to throw his name out there because he has yet to give me a reason to doubt him early in his professional career, but don't sleep on Matthew Etzel in this conversation. I think he's a little ways off. This isn't a near-term solution. We're talking about a guy that's only in high A, drafted out of a small school, but he's a right fielder who really has the skill set of a center fielder. Good bat-to-ball skills. The power is showing up so far this season. Don't sleep on him at all as a possible at least fourth or fifth outfielder.
I'm also still on the Matt Horvath breakout train, and he's a guy that can play third base and corner outfield. So, yeah, I'm getting dizzy just thinking about this, so maybe we should move on to the next question, which just so happens to be from Joe Adams, which, problem solved. We try to pronounce his name last week, and it's just was Joe Adams spelled backwards. So very cool to find out. He asks, when do we see the first set of promotions? And I'm assuming he means like from AA to AAA, minor league promotions. And who are the top players on that list to be moved?
I would not mind seeing my first thought seeing this question was I wouldn't mind seeing like a Kyle Brnovich to AAA, Cameron Weston to AA, Luis De Leon to High A kind of series of moves. It's just, it's hard to just say like Luis De Leon to Bowie because, or Aberdeen, or Cameron Weston to Bowie because like, where are you going to pitch? But I like that kind of waterfall of moves to happen. As far as there's some relief arms that I know we just talked about on the minor league segment of the show, and I do agree that I would love to see like a Keegan Gillies, Cade Stroud, Dylan Hyde moved up to AAA at some point in the very near future, because I think that Norfolk team could use some pitching help, and they've all earned a right to be pitching in AAA. And the bat, Zach just stole the thunder by mentioning it, Matthew Etzel, I'm going to throw out as I think he could be one of the first of the bigger bats to get moved up. And like if Kerstad gets moved up to the big leagues, like Billy Cook's going to Norfolk, I feel like that's pretty obvious replacement there. But I don't know about you guys, but I don't really see anyone right now. I don't really see anyone that super stands out as like they should be at another level right now, other than Connor Norby, Kobe Mayo, and Kerstad, obviously, but that's different. But Etzel is like, he was fantastic in Delmarva last year. He's off to a great start so far in Aberdeen. I know one of his goals this year was to hit the ball harder, increase those exit velos. And if he is hitting the ball harder this year, don't have accurate exit velo numbers on him right now, but if he is hitting the ball harder, he's not sacrificing anything for it. And so I could see him being, why not? Why couldn't he be one of the first big bats moved up to Bowie? He's gonna fear the beard. It's there.
It's working for Colton Kowser. It's working for Matthew Etzel. Yeah. Everyone's got to grow out a beard. Yeah, from hitter side, I don't think there's going to be that much movement, at least in the beginning of the year, that we've seen in the past. Obviously, eventually, I think all these guys, the draft picks that are in High A, will find their way up to Bowie. I wonder if Creed Willems is one of the first. Again, I don't think it's any time particularly soon, but Anudis Mordaunt could probably be due to move up to Aberdeen by June, sometime in June. And then if Creed Willems is going to do the thing where he mastered High A over the offseason somehow, he's going to go up to AA, struggle mightily, and then come back in 2025, having mastered AA right from the get-go. And I think that's just going to be his progression of things. So hitting, that's a lot tougher to see. But on the pitching side, honestly, almost, I feel like 40% of the pitchers on the minor league rosters could deserve to be called up at any point. So I could see if they say, Caleb Ort, this isn't working out. You're gone. Nolan Hoffman, sorry, it's not working out. Tucker Davidson, goodbye. Then you move up Keegan Gillis. You could move up Cade Stroud. You could move up Peak, Brnovich, like you're talking about these guys, McGow, Seth Johnson. And then that just escalates all the way down. Yaki Rivera could go up to the Bowie bullpen. I could easily see that happening early in the year, and so on and so forth. So I think look for a batch of pitching promotions if they decide to move on from a couple of the minor league signings in the AAA bullpen.
I would think that in early May, we see some movement. You'll be a month into the year and things will, it typically takes a month for these things to start sorting themselves out, but they always do. And I would, if I had a guess, I would say that Trey McGough is the first of the bullpen arms out of Bowie to go to Norfolk because he has that AAA time. I think that, like I talked about on our episode earlier this week, he just needs that kind of ease back.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
in because he missed so much time after the Tommy John surgery. And then if you want to look below that, Yaki Rivera, I think, is making a really strong case for a promotion, but I think Cameron Weston is the first to go from Aberdeen to Bowie. And then that sets up De Leon from Delmarva to Aberdeen, because I think De Leon's going to have a big year, and there's really nothing left for him to prove at Delmarva.
Good call. And if and when Heston Kerstad gets called up to the majors, obviously I think Billy Cook will find his way back up to AAA, but I think Judd Fabian is going to be in AAA before Dylan Beavers. I'll at least say that.
Yeah, it's really funny to watch Fabian this year. Off to a much better start so far in terms of, like, it's like, yes, he had a single. All right, this is Judd Fabian's single time. Let's go. It's not a strikeout or a home run or a walk. But yeah, I like all of that. I do think it's going to be a lot of pitcher-heavy promotions that we're anticipating this year. But we'll go to Callie, who has a question. It says, do we make a trade for more bullpen help? And who is on the block? Zach?
Yes, the Orioles are going to trade for more bullpen help because, number one, that's just kind of a standard thing for teams to do at the deadline because they're looking ahead to figure out, okay, who can actually get us deep into the postseason or who could be the difference maker in us getting to the postseason. So that's just part of it. But then I also think that you are seeing some areas where this bullpen, not as dominant as it was last year. So I think that as the season goes on, it's become apparent, okay, maybe you're fine with Cano, Coulomb, and Kimbrel at the back end, but the middle innings could use some help. Let's figure out a way to do that. And my expectation, I don't have any particular players in mind right now as for who could be on the block, but I would say to look for a guy with similar traits to Shintaro Fujinami, but actually having a good season. And he's not going to be a guy you try to fix over the final couple months of the year. And right now, if you want to look around the league, the Rockies and Marlins are off to terrible starts. The White Sox are off to a horrible start. I don't know if any of those teams are going to have bullpen arms you're necessarily going to want, but I wouldn't rule that out. And then, between now and July, we're going to get a clearer sense of what the seller's market is going to look like. And some options will emerge then, but just know there's going to be plenty of relievers available and plenty of teams looking for bullpen help.
Yeah, I mean, we're a contender. In 3 months, we will make a trade for a relief pitcher. Wouldn't be surprised if the A's were a target. I'm just going to say it. The Discord is absolutely salivating over the idea of Mason Miller in an Orioles uniform, and I would too, but he's also a former top 100 prospect as a starting pitcher who's only closing games right now because he doesn't have the innings to start for them. So I mean, it is the A's, so you never know, but I don't see them trading him until at least he hits arbitration. Obviously a fantastic arm, but there are other guys to target from the A's or the Rockies, even though they're so weird. They don't trade. They don't rebuild. I don't know what they're doing. The White Sox, I don't know, unless it's Michael Kopech, if they even have anyone worth going after. The Marlins have, obviously, pitching talent. They just sent Max Meyer down for some reason after he got off to an amazing start to the year. Very weird decision. Edward Cabrera had a good start today in his season debut. Sixto Sanchez, is he back? I don't know. Like, I think there's plenty of options. Who knows who it's going to be, because it's going to be at least 3 months from now. In the meantime, I think we have some options in AAA or soon to be AAA that could help the team if needed. Wandas and Charles off to a great start. 3 ERA over 6 innings with 8 strikeouts, only 3 walks. Matt Crook off to a good start. Nick Vespi, as always, is off to a great start. He's just a really, really solid major league lefty that's spent a lot of time in AAA the past few years. I'm still big on Albert Suarez. I don't know about you guys. I know he's 34 and he's got a 5.87 ERA in AAA over 15 and a third innings, but 17 strikeouts, 1 walk. He's got that mid to upper 90s fastball with hop on it. I like him a lot still. Even a guy like Luis Gonzalez has 8 strikeouts to 1 walk over 6 and a third. And then we have the guys we've already talked about, Gillies, Hyde, Stroud, these other guys coming up, Branovich, even Povich or McDermott. Like, these guys if you really just need someone in the bullpen, you can go to the upside for now this year. So I think we're fine on the bullpen. Cionel Perez is on the injured list. He'll be back at some point. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing necessarily, but if he's on his game, he's a great lefty pitcher as well. So yeah, not too worried about the bullpen. Obviously you don't have Felix, but he's one of a kind.
Yeah, I think you summarized it pretty well there with the relievers, and maybe you don't need to make a big home run type trade with a bullpen. You can find somebody who's got the crazy good pitch data that you love. And like Zach said, maybe you don't need to fix him. He's already having a decent year, but he makes it as a nice complementary piece to the bullpen. And hopefully guys continue to step up, fill their role. And we see some more guys from the minor leagues step up. I was actually going to throw out a tweet earlier today. I didn't get around to it, but highlighting Luis Gonzalez, because in his last outing with Norfolk, I think he pitched what, 2 innings and had like 9 whiffs, no walks, 4 strikeouts. He's throwing, I can't remember what he's throwing, like 93, 94, but from the left side, he was a former top 30 prospect in this organization and then was out of affiliated ball for the last couple of years. Then he went to San Francisco for a year after the Orioles released him. The guy was in Frederick for like 4 seasons. But went to the Giants, and then I think he's pitched in Italy, Mexico, the Dominican. He's pitched all over the globe in like the 3 years since he was in pro ball. Orioles re-signed him this offseason, put him in AAA. So I think he could be an option. He's getting swings and misses down there, pitching well. That could be a fun arm at some point, a stopgap option. But yeah, it will be interesting to see these trades, though. You mentioned Miami, Tanner Scott, anybody? probably not. But I think the Marlins do have a lot of arms, especially in their rotation, of even guys who like probably should be in the bullpen. Like, you know, could AJ Puck go back to the bullpen and find the form that he's had the last 2 years, especially last year? A guy like that, I don't imagine he would cost a ton. But somebody like that, even maybe another team is trying them out in the starting rotation and they're not performing, but they've got proven success in the minor league or in the bullpen. Could we swing a trade for that type of player and bring him in? I don't know AJ Puck specifically, but yeah, I don't see them spending huge to acquire a bullpen piece. Cause just like last year, Michael, I said, you know, we've got the internal pieces here and that ended up being DL Hall. I think they do have the internal pieces here. It's just going to take a little bit more time for those guys to develop and reach the big leagues, but.
Going now to this question from Ben. What are the chances that Jordan Westberg is an all-star this year? I'll start with Bob.
Ben, we get it. You're a huge Jordan Westberg fan. Get the statue built up, retire his number. I don't know. I think he's going to be, they're not going to give too many guys from the same team an all-star bid. I think Gunnar's already pretty much locked up. Adley's going to be pretty much locked up. The big names are that Kimbrel's pitching like an all-star, Burns, obviously, Grayson, and Westberg's, you know, he was off to a slow start, and now he's been on fire. Obviously, if he continues to hit the way he has in the past week, and he's always been a streaky hitter, if he can just get on a torrent in the first half of the year, then maybe there's a chance. But I'd say it's still under 50%. It's an outside shot looking in, but I'm still happy with how he's performing, that's for sure.
Yeah, I pulled up Fangraphs leaderboards here real quick, and this is probably going to come out much later in the week, and we're recording this Monday night. So going into Monday night's games, Jordan Westberg right now, among second basemen, AL second basemen, he is fourth in F4 behind Jose Altuve, Marcus Semien, Andrés Giménez. I think Altuve and Semien are obviously going to be hard to overcome in like all-star voting for a second base job. Edward Julian is down there at number 6. He could be the Twins' lone, like, pity all-star representative, because I don't know who else Minnesota has on this team, even though we are playing them right now. But if you move over to third base, like, Devers isn't playing very well so far this year. And actually, as I pull it up again, Jordan Westberg is tied with Isak Paredes for the lead among AL third basemen in F4. And no one else is really. Yoan Moncada, I think he died. Again, he's on the IL because it's another year. I don't see anyone else on the third base list here in the AL that could challenge him other than Isak Paredes. So I don't know, maybe, but yeah, we got it, Ben. Jordan Westberg is the guy. He's hitting the ball incredibly hard. I will say that he's been more consistent this year so far. He's got a 149 WRC plus, which I was not expecting. He is exceeding my expectations so far as a big leaguer. And they were fairly decently high expectations I had of him coming into the year. So
I would put it right now about a 25 to 30% chance. You ran off some of the numbers there. He's, you know, among the better hitters at two positions in the American League. The one of the things working against him, though, is that by the time we're really figuring out, like, by the time we have a clearer picture of who should be an all-star, Westberg will have primarily been a third baseman because you have Jackson Holliday in the major leagues now. And I think it's going to be a little bit, I think it's going to be a higher barrier at third base just because of the expectations for how hitters perform offensively at second base versus third base. There's going to be an expectation of a little bit more power at third base than there is at second, where an all-star second baseman might hit 20 to 25 home runs. That number is going to be higher at third base. So I think that that does work against him. We're also only a couple weeks into the season, and let's not forget this time last week, he was not looking too good at the plate, or at least the numbers had not come along yet. So things can fluctuate. I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't think the chances are very high, at least yet.
Ben also would like to know, how many of our current eight relievers are on the club by season's end? Let's run it right back to Zach.
So I'm guessing that Ben is still working on Dylan Tate's Hall of Fame plaque. I think that the last update we had at the end of 2022. So good news, Ben. I do think that Dylan Tate is going to be on the roster at the end of this year. And then I think that you look at how the bullpen shakes out right now. I'm assuming CNL Perez is not in this equation, so because he's on the IL right now. So I think Kimbrel, Webb, Cano, and Coulomb are all still around as long as they can stay healthy. The same with Keegan Aiken.
Don't do that. Jacob Webb sucks. Doesn't matter how good he pitches. He is terrible and should be DFH. That's for you.
I do think that they're going to pursue some help from the trade market, as we just talked about. There's probably going to be one or two relievers brought up from the minor leagues at the end of the year. So let's just say for right now that five of the eight current relievers are on the roster at the end of the year.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Sorry, Nick, I'm jumping the line. I already did it. Might as well just continue. I think Kimbrel, Cano, Coulomb, and Tate are pretty safe. I think Jacob Webb has a good chance to be there at the end. Sorry, Ben. Mike Bauman, I'm not so sure, is long for the bullpen. He's got the stuff. I mean, he could put it all together and be a productive reliever for the Orioles, but just something tells me he's going to continue to be inconsistent and at some point might get DFA'd in favor of somebody else. But yeah, I agree with Zach.
Yeah, same. Johan Ramirez, be cool if you're like the next Dylan Tate, the guy who, you know, you come in to realize the Orioles are like, they really like this guy back in the day when they were familiar with him. And how did Eve put it when she was on the show that with Ciano Perez, he didn't have the runway in Houston, and they gave him the runway here in Baltimore, and he had a dominant year that year, and has been pretty successful ever since. Is Johan Ramirez that next guy? I don't know. I don't see him sticking around. I don't see Michael Bauman finishing the year either. I see, ideally, Cole Irvin and Tyler Wells are in the bullpen, I think. That adds two of those pieces. But yeah, I would say Ramirez and Bauman are not here, and Perez is, though. Sorry, Ben. It's 11 o'clock at night. Easy target right now. Sorry to
catch. And Jonathan Heasley's going to be there too, by the way.
Sorry you're catching all the strays at 11 p.m. on a Monday night. All right, we'll go. Final question here. We'll wrap this marathon up. Bird is the word. Ask, does Connor Norby ever get a shot with the Birds, Bob?
Long term, I think he's destined to be the centerpiece of the next big trade that the Orioles make. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he does make his major league debut with the Orioles at some point, whether it's because of injury. I mean, it would almost have to be. But let's just say that at some point Ramon Arias is traded or DFA'd. And then there's because we're going to call this minor. I'm not wishing major on anyone. There's a minor injury to a Jordan Westberg or to someone that Norby could come in and fill their shoes, make his major league debut, hopefully perform well, raise his stock. Good for him, good for the Orioles, and everybody's happy in the end.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Bob. I feel like long-term it is going to be a trade package, but let's not forget that Joey Ortiz had a cup of coffee in the major leagues, the Orioles, actually a couple of stints in the majors before he was ultimately packaged in a trade. And I could see the same thing happening for Norby. And because he's getting some time in right field this year, I think the Orioles are thinking ahead to how they can fit him on the roster at some point when a need arises. But there's only so many at-bats to go around. And I still believe that, you know, if we're here in July and the Orioles need to get another starter, Connor Norby is going to be a guy they can really dangle out there. Because let's face it, Connor Norby is probably an upgrade over a fair number. Not, I won't say like half the league or even a third of the league, but a fair number of second basemen right now are going to be at a level that's lower than Connor Norby. So Norby would actually make some teams better if he was traded at the deadline and immediately plugged in at second base.
Yeah, I think we kind of talked about this last week on last week's mailbag. And I said there's blocked and then there's Connor Norby, who's just like cemented into where he is in Norfolk. I think it will take significant injury or injuries for him to get up to the big leagues. Maybe if there's a situation where he, like a Joey Ortiz situation last year, how he made his debut, you know, you need this type of hitter in this series. Guys are struggling and you go ahead and bring him up, but he's not on the 40-man roster right now. So that adds a whole nother wrinkle to this as well. He's not on the 40-man roster. He is Rule 5 eligible at the end of the year. So I think the difficult thing is, like, do you aggressively dangle him out there and try to get a trade done this year by this year's trade deadline? But at the same time, how eager are the Orioles to trade him? Because it's like this weird balancing act, because you don't need to trade him right now. He's super high quality depth to have in the minor leagues that you love to have. Because what if there is an injury to Holiday or Gunner and you can bring up Norby to help ease that replacement a little bit? But at the same time, it's like the longer you hold on to him, what does that do to his trade value? Are you going to be able to get the maximum amount of return for Norby if you wait until the offseason? Or the Orioles fine with that and they say, we want that insurance policy down there in AAA and we'll take the hit on that value. But that doesn't seem like a very Michael Elias thing to do. So I don't know. Again, as we always say when we talk about Norby, I feel bad for the kid. He's got a 136 WRC plus in AAA right now with four home runs. He's playing very good baseball. It's just I don't see any room right now as far as the roster stands.
Yeah, I agree with that. And hopefully he continues to have success at AAA and can be that guy that the Orioles can fill in a need if there is one. That does it for this week's mailbag. We will be back next week to talk all things Orioles, major leagues, and minor leagues. In the meantime, you can check us out on our many social media channels. We're over at Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, TikTok, and YouTube. We're also over at Substack, OriolesOnTheVerge.substack.com. And while you're browsing the internet, be sure to head over to Patreon and join our community, where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month. And at the $5 and $10 levels, have access to exclusive bonus daily coverage from Bob, Nick, and myself. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, this is Zach Spedden. You've been listening to Orioles on the Verge, part of the Believe podcast network.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.